This is our fourth session in study number 18 in the book of Revelation. That study is called The Counterfeit Holy Spirit and deals with chapter 13 and verses 11 through 18. But I want to turn now as we leave chapter 13 after, I think, seven sessions together. I want to turn to spiritual lies gleaned from the account of the beast from the land and the beast from the earth. Because it's hard to put ourselves in the tribulation, 70th week of Daniel, I'd like to extract several spiritual lies that are present in this chapter and then relate them to our lives. Some of these lies reflect popular philosophies today and down through the centuries. Some reflect the views of many Christians, and some may even coincide with some of your views. These are 13 satanic lies, not that 13 has any particular significance. If I looked farther and you looked farther, we could find 15, 20, 30, 50. But here are 13 satanic lies that are part of his strategies for us. Lie number one: it's better to be religious than not religious. Or it's a good thing to be religious. The unsaved person believes this. The Christian version might go something like this: it's better to look like a believer on the outside than to admit my emptiness, so I'll go through the motions. I will look religious. 2 Timothy 3:5 speaks, however, of having a form of godliness, but not the spiritual reality. We are all made to worship. Human beings will always worship something. They'll worship themselves, they'll worship other people, or they'll worship Satan unless the Holy Spirit intervenes with the new birth. In the tribulation, everyone will be religious and will worship something. Now this is connected with the issue of idolatry. Idolatry can be defined simply as putting anything above God in your life. And really, it's not a matter of scale that God is number one and my sports experience is number two and my car is of third importance to me. It's really, is God preeminent to such a degree that nothing that you put a value on other than the things of God, God and Scripture and living for Him, is it such that nothing has importance that would be of any eternal significance in comparison to your valuation of God? The issue of idolatry, putting something ahead of God, anything, is found throughout Scripture, and especially in these chapters where Satan counterfeits a Trinity and then sets up visible idols. The first beast is worshipped, and then there is an image. Is it a statue? Is it some other kind of appearance of, we suggested last week, some feature of the revived Roman Empire? But these things are worshipped. They're idolized. Idols don't have to be physical things. We have, for Israel, we have, for instance, the worship of the golden calf, a physical thing. The nations worship people who aren't saved, people worshiping things that they have made with their hands. but things that we worship as idols. And we all, since we're built to worship something, we will worship something physical or something intangible. So it's that may be our job. That may be preeminent for us. It may be our education. It may be our home or our house. It may be our health. It may be our body in the sense of being a bodybuilder, and that's the most important thing, build up my muscles. Or it may be sports or a car. It can be visible things or invisible things, but anything that's put above God of any eternal valuation is idol worship. A second lie: things that look good must be good. Things that look bad are bad. Satan, however, can make evil things look good and right. Most people will not see through the facade of the two beasts. They will think it's the right thing to do to worship the beast and the image. On the other hand, spiritual success, pleasing God, and victory for the believer demand spiritual perception that comes from Scripture. In the spiritual battle, the Word of God is central, as in Ephesians 6:17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. A third lie: sincerity counts for a lot. Hitler was sincere, as are the oppressors of Israel and Jews today. They're sincere. How much value do you put on that? Undoubtedly, the beasts out of the sea and out of the earth will be very sincere. They're committed to what they're doing. Many, or maybe most people today, evaluate the truth of someone's speech and ideas by their outward sincerity. Lie number four: popularity and success have a lot going for them. If something or someone is successful, they must be right. We think that success carries its own validation. I was shocked a while back when I saw a brochure put out by one of America's largest evangelical institutions, which said that its faculty had degrees from the most prestigious graduate schools in the world. The beasts will be followed because they are successful and prestigious. I think by comparison, of course, the lowliness of the God-man in his ministry on earth, and at the end of his ministry, according to Acts chapter 1, there were only 120 believers in that upper room waiting for Pentecost. A fifth lie: having material goods is a sign of God's blessing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul reveals some of the hardships in his service to Christ. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Did he look successful? We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Did Paul have much in the way of material goods? Probably virtually nothing. Was he a failure? According to the philosophy of the world, he was. A sixth lie: It's hard to fool the masses, so the majority must be right. Actually, in spiritual things, the majority are often wrong. Here's an example. The false theory of evolution, for instance. It fools millions, if not billions, of people today. Yet one secular scientist, has called it the greatest hoax in the history of science. The idea that the majority are right is an example of the logical error called the bandwagon fallacy. If everybody's doing it, I should do it too. If everybody believes it, I should believe it too. Lie number 7. A variant of this idea is the idea that most Christians must be right. It would be hard to fool so many Christians. Whatever the majority of Christians hold to, that's what must be biblically true. Let me give you an example to the contrary, however. I sincerely believe that most Christians have been fooled by unbiblical teaching and practice that most people follow concerning the local church. Those who stand on Scripture on any issue at crucial times are often very few in number. Lie number 8. Visible things help me to know God better. The image of the beast will be an object of worship, and people will respond to signs and wonders produced by the second beast. Today, a nice church building, a beautiful organ. I'd love to have a beautiful organ here with a complete set of foot pedals, 32 foot long low bass notes, 32 foot long pipes producing low bass notes, all kinds of orchestral instruments produced by the pipes, keyed by the stops. That'd be wonderful, beautiful. Have nice pews. Maybe we ought to have robes. Wouldn't all these things help me worship better? Some would say that. But remember John chapter 4, where Jesus told the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, that the place of worship, and that includes the accoutrements of the place, isn't important. How would you do if you had to worship in the catacombs of Rome as some early Christians did? Do visible things really help me to know God better? Lie number 9. Regarding feelings, we have the lie that experiences are more important than ideas. In the tribulation period, people will be swept up by the excitement of the power of the first beast and the personality of the second, pointing to the glory of the first beast. But God says that the Bible is to be the touchstone for everything that we do. Now, the charismatic says something like this. Maybe you've seen this saying. The person who has an experience is never at the mercy of the person who has a doctrine. My experience trumps your doctrine. My experience is more true to the things of God than your teaching. Some who claim to be Christians live almost entirely by emotions and experiences. A 10th lie, regarding total depravity, we have the lie that we're too smart to be fooled by Satan. During the tribulation, intelligent people and not so intelligent people will all be tricked, because in their depravity they enjoy satanic lies. Lie number 11, another error concerning total depravity, is the belief that there's a lot of good in everyone. Though the inhabitants of the earth will be forced to worship the first beast, all will prefer that to worshiping Yahweh, the true God. Is there a lot of good in them? Lie number 12, regarding power, we have the satanic lie that if I have more power with people, I will accomplish more for God. This chapter, perhaps more than any other in the Bible, shows the attempts by some to get ahead by power. Remember the examples of the always continuing humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's the explicit statement, for instance, in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 4 concerning the rebuilding of the temple in the 5th century B.C. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And it seems to me that many, many endeavors for God by popular or well-known Christians today, corporations doing things as Christians, depend on popularity and power and the latest business approaches to things in order to carry out their ministry. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And lie number 13. In chapter 13, everyone hands over their spiritual decision-making to someone else. We thus have the lie that we can live our lives on someone else's spiritual strength, be it parents or television preachers or things found in great Christian books. Nothing wrong with great Christian books, but are they what we depend on for spiritual strength, or is it Scripture? No, the antidote to this lie is to get into Scripture for ourselves and then evaluate what others have said. All these ideas and beliefs are wrong when tested by Scripture. Now, we have several younger people here today, we'll say under 25. I'd like you to think about these 13 lies and the truths which I will suggest in a moment relating to these chapters as things that you will see throughout your whole life. Your older folks will say, yes, I've seen that. And yes, I thought that myself one time. Or yes, I fell into that trap. Or yes, God showed me the error associated with that lie. These are things that if you're younger in life, you should be very well aware of these as you go toward the rest of your life. Well, the comprehensive antidote to all these lies is to test them by revealed truth, and to be a person whose life is built on the book, capital B. Isn't this what the Bereans did? Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Well, let's not close on a negative note. So here are some spiritual truths that you can count on that should be part of your life that we see especially in this chapter. Number one, Satan's work is basically to counterfeit and block access to God. He constructs a counterfeit trinity in chapter 13. He wants to ultimately block access to God. A false ruling Messiah, false Holy Spirit. Follow them, and he will keep you from reaching God. Number two, spiritual truth number two that we can count on. Human beings on their own are pawns in Satan's scheme to exalt himself and to counterfeit the Trinity. As a believer today, part of the church, you will be taken out of the way before that tribulation starts. But the principles are the same. Satan's scheming makes you a pawn unless you walk according to Scripture. Number three, third truth, Satan can make evil things look good and right. People will think it is good and right to worship the beast. Same thing today. Truth number four, Christian's home is not here. Satan is the prince of this world, but Jesus is the prince of life. Truth number five, we are commanded to test the spirits to see if they are from God. That certainly won't be happening in the 70th week of Daniel. The majority of humanity will fall for lies. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12. If you don't know this and live on the basis of it, you will be defeated in the Christian life. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we can discern as spiritual truths and spiritual lies in these significant chapters. Cause us to be discerning because we understand what your word says and we live it out. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.